we're back, and this segment of the show is brought to you by ShoreCruise.com, your online cruise superstore, and in part by USA 3000 Airlines, offering low-cost fares from St. Petersburg, Orlando, Fort Myers, and Fort Lauderdale to seven different cities. Charles Chicxulepian, president of FRAC, Foreseeable Risk Analysis Center, www.frac.com, is on the phone. Good morning, Chick.
Good morning, Roy.
How are you this morning?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Okay, I caught you in the middle of a train ride yesterday, huh?
Yes, you did.
Well, listen, you know, first of all, I want to thank you for joining us today. And secondly, you know, airline security, sky marshals, border security, personal security while traveling, none of these are easy issues. But, you know, they are the big issues today. And one of the latest issues, and a bit confusing to me, is the National Guard's the president has sent to support our border patrols to stop what is I call the carousel of immigrants. Now, in your opinion, is this realistic or is it just smoke and mirrors?
Well, the way it's being handled doesn't seem to me to offer much of a benefit. The whole idea really is to augment the border patrol service, to allow the border patrol personnel to get involved in more of the law enforcement and the interdicting of illegals coming across the border. The National Guard, however, is going to be using this program as part of their 2 weeks active duty for training, and they'll send groups from around the country down to the border who are unfamiliar with the protocols down there, and they'll be filling in, doing clerical work and things of that nature.
Yeah, they'll
be doing manual labor.
That's what we're hearing. Could you just speak a little bit more directly on the phone? I'm a little trouble hearing you.
I'll try.
That's much better, much better. So anyway, that's what we're hearing. We're hearing that they're going to do all these clerical duties and the rest of it. Now, how is this going to help?
Well, in theory, it would free up Border Patrol agents to go out and do the actual law enforcement work in the field.
Right.
That's only in theory, because when you send National Guard troops to fill in for some permanent organization, there is a training lapse, and that it'll take them a week to get up to speed on what needs to be done once they learn it, and the second week they're packing up, getting ready to go back to their various states and their local assignments. So if they're going to do this, if they're going to activate them for a longer period of time, then there may be some benefit, but the current plan doesn't call for that. There's also some question about the use of National Guard troops to do essentially law enforcement work.
These are kind of weekend warriors, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they've been more than that, Roy. You know, some of them have done two and three tours already in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, yeah.
So they are, they're very competent in what they do, but the local assignment that they're getting just raises a whole lot of questions, and it may be just more smoke and mirrors. What we probably need is a permanent increase in the number of Border Patrol people or other law enforcement agents down on the border.
But, you know, I wonder if there's really any answer to all of this. And the reason I say that is that, yeah, I call it, as I say, the carousel. They come over, we hold them a little while, we send them back. They come back, we send them back. In fact, I had a conversation with someone one day, and he told me while I was down that way, he said, they took us to a detention center. He said, I had a color TV, I had a menu to order my meals, a nice comfortable bed. He said, hey, listen, that was better than I was living where I left. I asked him before they sent me back home, what can I do to stay in this place?
You know, most of them don't come for that kind of a benefit. They come because they expect a job on the other end.
That's exactly right.
If they don't have a job on
right.
the other end, we'll probably be more successful in keeping them from coming into the United States. We seem to be a little reluctant to enforce the law that says that an employer cannot hire an illegal immigrant.
Right.
And if you do so, there's a penalty. Last year, three fines were imposed. Three. This is ludicrous. As long as the opportunity is there, they will continue to come.
Yeah. And, of course, especially here in Florida, we need a certain amount of immigrant workers because we have a big tomato industry. But, as you say, they need to be registered. They should have a card. There should be some system in place where you have certain controls. Because the ones that we find here, I found to be hardworking people who are just trying to find a better life for themselves.
before we began with terrorism, I don't think the public really cared that much about the influx of illegals, at least not across the nation. The border states, of course, have been suffering under the weight of the numbers. But now that we have a terrorism potential threat 24/7, we need to be better able to control who comes into the nation, and to have porous borders both north and south is a threat to the security of the country.
Right. Now, what about Canada? This is always an interesting point now, because you've always been able to walk across, show some form of ID. There are areas up in the northeast where there's hardly any border. You just walk right across. There isn't even a station there.
Well, that's absolutely true, but we haven't been too concerned about it, notwithstanding the fact that there were Islamic terrorists who crossed the border attempting to blow up the Los Angeles airport a few years ago. And a ring in Canada was just broken up by the Mounties last week, or the week before, a terrorist ring. So the threat is in Canada, but we are focusing on the southern border because about 70% of the immigration into the United States comes up from Latin America.
And it's non-terrorist type.
Well, we have another issue, however. A large percentage, if not the majority, of the narcotics coming into this country is also coming across that border to
right.
the south. And if we're going to interdict the drug flow into the United States, then we need to secure that southern border. And that's just another good reason why we need to do more about the conditions down there.
Let's go to the airlines for a moment and the issue of sky marshals. On the last few flights that I've been on, you look around, these fellows are quite obvious. They're in a suit and tie, sitting the economy passenger seats. And, you know, my theory is if they're going to be so obvious, why not let them sit in flight attendant type seats facing the passengers with a mean look guarding the cockpit door?
Well, it's been a real sticky issue. The sky marshals themselves have been complaining that their cover is blown, so to speak,
right.
by what they are required to wear, and it's more than that. It's the manner in which they have to check in. Normally, they board the aircraft first, so anybody sitting in a gate area pretty much knows who they are. Some of them have to show their identification before they board the plane. This is ludicrous, because the whole idea behind the Sky Marshal program is to have people who are anonymous on board the aircraft. Remember that there may be about 5,000 to 7,500 Sky Marshals. What we like to believe is that there's a Sky Marshal on every airplane.
Right.
Knowing that is not the case, we need to keep the anonymity in place so that you never know on which flight you have a Sky Marshal. Today you do know when the Sky Marshal is present.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. What else is happening out there in the security world, Chick?
Well, I was just looking at a news bulletin today. You know that in some of the airports around the country, we have offered to the traveling public something called the Registered Traveler Plan.
Right.
For which you spend $80 to $100 and give up some personal information about yourself, and you are issued a card that is supposed to get you through the screening program in an expedited fashion. Well, more and more airports are opting out of the program. And the reason for it is that across the country, it's only taking 3 to 4 minutes to get through a screening station. So there almost is no need for the registered traveler plan. It might have sounded like a good idea, but it's one that's not working out. The fact of the matter is that we are becoming less and less concerned over what people carry with them in their carry-on, at least in terms of security. Yes, we're going through the motions, and yes, we are still taking objects that are on the no-carry-on board list, but the fact of the matter is that with the securing of cockpit doors, we recognize that hijacking an airplane in that fashion just won't work. You
yeah.
can't get into the cockpit, and therefore you cannot hijack the plane, unless, of course, the pilot leaves the door open.
Right.
So there's less of a concern for your carry-on and what's going through, at least in terms of weapons. However, we need to do something about the ability to detect explosives, and that is an issue that is just well, it just perplexes the country. We don't seem to be able to find a good way to determine if explosives are present in carry-on bags or even in checked baggage, for that matter. The method we use today is one which requires visual observation. If it doesn't look like a bomb, it's going to get through. It's as simple as that. And we need to do something about that because the terrorists are packing explosives in a fashion so that they don't look like bombs. And what is happening is our screeners keep failing the tests that are being given by the Office of the General Accountability Office to see whether or not they can detect explosives, and they can't. So that is a big issue. The second part of that is we still have about 900,000 workers in airports around the United States on the ramp side who do not go through security. And this is something that is a real serious flaw in the program. And by security, I mean the same kind of screening that passengers and flight crews go through. They are still exempt from that, and we need to do something about it.
Well, you know, that's a very good point, because over the years, people have, you know, workers on the ramp have been able to access luggage and steal things, and as you know, even move drugs to various points. And so that is a tough one, and something does need to be done about it.
There is something we can do about it, and it's not that complicated. All we need to do is put them through the same screening process we put the passengers through, and we will virtually eliminate some of this. The second part of it is, as employees, they don't have an absolute right to carry into the workplace anything they want to carry. So if we were to put an embargo on the carrying of backpacks, for instance, by employees who come to work, reducing the amount of stuff they carry with them, they'd be easier to screen, and we would be a lot safer in the long run.
And maybe have the same sort of screening equipment and at wherever it is that they enter.
Like, well, actually, the law does require that a worker go through no less a screening program than a passenger does. It just has never been implemented that way.
Right. Now, we have about another minute, and last time we spoke, you made some very good points about people traveling, personal security when you travel.
Well, I would point out once again that in the United States, we are not brought up in the tradition of concern for our own personal security. We have been blessed in that we haven't been subjected to the same kind of terrorism that has occurred even in the Western world, in Europe and so on. And so we're kind of negligent about how we conduct ourselves. We are negligent about what we do when we are on the road. And I'm not just talking about airports now. We get into hotels and we don't use all of the amenities that are provided for our security. We wander through areas that we know little about. We need to become more aware of the dangers in the areas in which we go. If we just did on the road what we did at home, we would be a lot safer.
Chick, thank you very much. It's always informative. It's always a pleasure to have you on. It's the Charles Slepian, president of FRAC.com. And I might suggest you go to his website, and there's some interesting things up there. Thanks once again, Chick, and bye for now.
Bye.